Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study, your place of love, welcome to Your Place Love Connection, glad that you're here this morning. This is your place of love, acceptance, your place of, I can't hear. Can anybody hear me?
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so excited that you join us this evening, as we are every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. As always, we start with devotion, which is song, scripture, and prayer. The scripture for this evening will be Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, and we will hear a song by Vicky Yohe. Vicky Yohe. Because of who you are. Actually, we're going to have a song by Vicky Yohe.
Because of who you are.
Amen. Amen. Our scripture reading is taken from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. I'm reading from the Message, and it says, and that about wraps it up. God is strong, and he wants you strong. So take everything the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over for the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. God adds a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his word, for it is the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Dr. Sins, are you with us? Dr. Sins, are you on mute?
Yes, I'm sorry. That's exactly what had happened. Thank you. God, we come before you, and we're just asking that you lead, guide, and direct us through this evening. Lord, this is such a serious battle that we are in. We need your guidance. We need your leadership. We need you to empower us to be prepared for what we are presently involved in and what is to come. Lord, you know what we don't know, and so with your omnipotence and omniscience, your all-knowingness, please direct our Bible study so that we can see with spiritual eyes that which you'd have for us to know. Lord, we just thank you as we've asked Pastor Wilson next week to come and be able to talk to us about spiritual warfare. Pastor Wilson is pastor in Cleveland, Ohio, who that's kind of their, he and his wife's area of focus. So we're asking, Lord, that you would give them the very things that they need to say and prepare their hearts for next week. As tonight, Lord, we will be talking about the armor of God. Please give us the insight and the knowledge to that which you want us to focus on. We're asking that you please be with us, and we ask these blessings in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So, first of all, I just want to say hello to everybody and to get a roll call to see who's with us tonight, who's on the line, and who's with us this evening. I heard Brother James. I think I heard Brett. Did I hear you, Brett? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I thought I heard you. And do I see Sister Brenda? Is that you out there, Sister Brenda?
Yes, I'm here, California.
All right, all right. We got these warriors with us tonight. And, you know, last week I specifically asked a question. Does anybody remember what I asked everybody to do? Anybody remember? Well, since nobody remembers, I had asked the group if they would observe what was happening, what types of spiritual war was occurring around them, so that they could share it with us as a personal experience and we could know that we're being aware, because we talked about the fact that even though we know that we're in a battle and even though we know we should be getting prepared, we haven't been doing our role of girding ourselves with the appropriate armor. So I want feedback and honesty from everybody, even after we did the Bible study, talking about spiritual warfare, warning us that we needed to get ready. How many people actually did preparations, put on their armor, and interacted? Anybody going to jump in there and be honest with us? Who's the first person going to tell us?
Well, this is James.
Dr. Nook.
There's spiritual warfare going on my job, people that I interact with, racism, sexism, all kinds of biases, elitism, people being made to feel small, insignificant, prejudice. So that kind of battle is going on, and I pray. So I mean, the prayer part, that weapon that we use, and also the Word of God. I often have to understand that we're not battling against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. So the Word of God helps me, and the fact that I'm saved and trying to seek peace in a world that is more and more divided. And I teach a lot concerning trying to bring people together as far as diversity and inclusion. And I see a lot that needs to be done, so much, and, you know, people are just battling because they feel like the world is being taken away from them by people that are coming from other countries, brown people, black people, whatever. And I see people battling to just try to be seen and heard and respected. So there's so many battles going on. We need the spiritual weapons, truth. Truth is a big one that I strive to use every day, because there's so many lies going on, and people are believing lies, and it's very painful. So I see that going on. I also see it in my family. I have a daughter that's seriously depressed, and it's hard to even talk to her, and it's so trying, because you feel like, you know, God, I'm praying, I'm trying, I want to reach her and want to help her, and it seems like she's so far away. But we got to still stay in the Word and keep praying. So every day, all around, your family, your job, you know, the news, everywhere, there's this spiritual warfare going on.
Amen. Anybody else willing to share? Brett and Brenda, either of you want to share?
This is Brett. There are two types of warfare that we have to be observant to and be able to understand so that we'll be able to fight it. One, there is a physical warfare, and then, yes.
So answer the question first and then help me teach it later. My question was, what is the spiritual warfare you've observed around you this week? What have you engaged in, and what did you see? What have you seen? Then help me teach it later. Hold that one. But answer that piece first.
Okay.
Because it sounds like you got some good information.
It's more mental that I had experienced this week is that my relatives and friends have come to me and have told me some things that allows me to give them better advice, that they, when they put their armor on, they'll be able to fight it. but it's more mental than anything else. It's where people are constantly trying to put a person down, or they're constantly trying to get inside that person's mind to mess them up to the point where they'll doubt themselves or doubt what is going on in their life. My son has overcome that. We prayed about it, and he had just offered to go permanent on his part-time job. So the devil can be defeated. It comes through prayer.
Amen. Preach, brother. Amen. Brenda, did you have anything you wanted to share tonight? At this point, you may not.
Well, not this last week, but I did stand up against my almost ex-husband, who was trying to convince me that it was a good lifestyle for him, not for me, to have multiple sex partners. And what I did was I took a stand, because not only was that adultery, but it was also coveting a very close friend of ours' wife, and also just breaking commandments overall through lies and deceit. And I stood up against him, and I prayed about it, I cried about it, I took a stand and removed myself from
Amen.
That situation. And that started in
Amen.
October last year, until I filed for divorce January 10th.
Amen.
And also,
Amen.
I went to the doctor, and I came out perfectly, 100% perfect.
Amen. 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 So we will continue to pray and thank God, praise God for those blessings and for your steadfastness. Amen. This is Dr. Susie. I just wanted to share a little bit. You know, oftentimes it's the enemy knows each and every one of us and sends the attacks us with the things that he knows. I think it was Brenda that said last week how he studied us ever since we've been young, and he knows our shortcomings and areas and where we're weak, and knows exactly what to send. And I have been challenged on my job and in various places. And I just want you to know, for me, that the belt of truth, which is what we talked about last week, that belt is so important. And I was just so thankful and grateful and celebratory of the belt of truth, because it holds everything together and it makes everything accessible. And when you speak and talk and walk in truth, the enemy just can't have a foothold. But when you don't operate in the truth, then he finds crevices and ways to sneak in that create that make holes in your wall, or your barrier that protects you. So I just wanted to just quickly say that, you know, it was being challenged, my ability of doing my job. And then one after the other, people kept coming out specifically requesting my services, so that it was no doubt that I was doing an excellent job. And I have been doing a great job, but when the enemy wants to create havoc, he'll lie. And that's why the truth is so important. And to even today, one of the nurses on the other side, way on the other side of the hospital, called and requested my care and said the family said they wanted me to be there. So wasn't nothing anybody could do. But, it spoke for itself. And so sometimes when we think we're on our own, the Lord's got it. God's got it. And all we have to do is stand in the truth. As many of you have already testified about tonight, and that's really been a blessing to me. And so as we go further in the Bible study tonight, I want us to just remember just how good God is. and how that truth, which is what we talked about last week, has been that empowerer for us, because that's where many of us stand, and we stand on the truth. So thank you all for your comments and sharing of how you were able to examine and to look back and see how God has kept you and how you've been in battle and spiritually been able to use spiritual eyes to see that you've actually been in warfare. And that's what we want people to be able to ascertain, is that they can look around themselves and see that they're in a battle and know that they are on God's side and God's got them. So let me repeat this. It says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. I'm reading Ephesians 6:13, and having done all, to stand. And, you know, we've talked about that we have to be alert. We have to have a defenses up. And we got to be willing and ready to launch a full-blown attack to get the enemy running. So when we get on the armor of God, now y'all know what that's like. I'm sorry, y'all going to laugh at me, but my visualization was to have on the Iron Man suit. When you get on the Iron Man suit, you go into the battle like, boom, you know, I'm ready to kick butt now, you know. But when you're walking in there and you're not covered and you know you might get hurt, I don't think we run in it the same way. You know, the person that's wearing the armor doesn't slack. They're not as fearful because they know that they know that they know that they're prepared. But, you know, the thing about it is for those of us who are children of God, we know that Satan is a formidable enemy of mankind. We know that many, many of God's people and people in general have succumbed to his attacks and his lies. We know he uses strategies trying to convince us to follow our lust and that those things will bring us happiness. He tells us that we're hopeless, we're sinners, we're beyond help. He tells us all these things. However, he knows what's prophesied about him, and that is that his bitter end is looming, hallelujah, in Revelation 20:10. But while he still can, he is like a chicken that's had his neck cut off and he's still running around doing damage because he wants to take down as many people as possible. It's just a matter of time, though, because even though the chicken is running around, I'm from the country. You wring the chicken's neck and he still runs around as if he's still got a head on. But then after a while, he has to admit defeat and give it up. So we talked about being girded with truth, right? We've already said the truth is such that it's liberating each and every time we use truth and we walk in truth because we know we're set free. But no matter how little a lie that we use or allow to be around us, we'll give the power of darkness an opening for attack. But the truth will chase the enemy away. So let's look at the second thing, second part of the armor, the breastplate of righteousness. So somebody wants to jump in there and tell me what they think about the breastplate of righteousness. Dr. Nooks, you want to start?
Well, if, you know, we need to have, you know, the breastplate covers the heart, major organs, it covers the abdomen, and we need to have righteousness covering us. And when you have the truth, when you have the belt of truth, and you're more than likely going to be seeking righteousness, what is right. And that is hard for many people to grasp nowadays, And Dr. Hootie, I'd really like for us to talk about that somewhat, because a lot of people don't know what's right anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really critical. Satan has deceived us and tricked us into believing that what is right is wrong and what is wrong is right. And,
amen.
And we get confused. And people are running around, I mean, even in the churches, supporting causes that are not of God. I mean, and they're hateful. There is no excuse for not loving people. I mean, Jesus, even on the cross, going to his death, loved. I mean, and we're told in 1 John that we have to love. Even Jesus even told us to love our enemies, and yet we have people that are so mean, and they're confusing people into such a degree that people have headaches anymore. I mean, they're fighting in their families, they're fighting at work, they can't talk.
Well,
it's a sad thing for those of us that are trying to do what's right. Righteousness comes from God. So, I mean, we can't have a breastplate of righteousness if we don't have salvation. You know, if we don't have God, then how can we know really what's right in God's sight? And so we walk around and we try to have logic and reason, and we study books and we meditate, and we have all these things, and then somebody comes on television and tells us stuff and tells us, no, that's not right. This is what's right. And you're sitting here looking at graphs and charts that tells you the truth, and somebody's telling you to believe a lie. So, you know, it is a time when we really need, you know, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face, you know, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and heal the land. And, you know, we need to be calling out to God right now, because there's so much confusion. We need God's righteousness.
Amen.
Well,
I want to add here,
this is Brenda in California, and last week I talked about normal. There's a lot of really bad stuff out there now that's being made to appear as if it's normal. I had a really deep conversation with a friend of mine over the weekend about that very thing, where people are taking situations or properties or whatever it is, and they're putting it up like it's normal, and it is in no way normal.
Amen.
Amen.
So what you're saying is that they're trying to do the things that are inappropriate and make them seem normal. I think there was I don't know if you remember, Sister Brenda, there was a commercial last year when the election was taking in place, and they said an apple is still an apple. Anybody remember that?
Still with what, Hello? Dr. Susie?
Which commercial?
Apple is still an apple. Because people were trying to create and say that an apple, they want to call it a banana, but an apple is an apple. You cannot change what is. But people will try to make you believe that an apple is something else.
Amen.
You know, they would try to, and they use an apple because it's something that we all know what it is. And yet there are people who are trying to tell us that that's a banana or orange. And they said an apple. It's still an apple. And so, as Dr. Nooks was saying, in reality, no matter what others are doing, truth is truth. There are people who would have us believe that it's something else. But we have to stand on revelation knowledge. We have to stand on the Word of God and know that it is our truth, and be willing to stand when all else is done. That's what the scripture I just read. We got to be willing to stand for it. Amen?
Amen.
So Dr. Nooks had given us an example of what I was asking about, the breastplate of righteousness. Did anyone else have anything else they wanted to say about the breastplate of righteousness? Dr. Nooks, was there any other areas you wanted to focus on? Because you said you wanted us to really hit on that.
Well, I wanted us to talk about, you know, what is right and what is wrong as far as righteousness is concerned. And I think also the breastplate guards the heart. And I did want to say something about that, and which guards our emotions, which guard, you know, what we talk about as being our emotions, even though the heart is a pump and the brain is really more dealing with our emotions, but still we equate the heart with emotions, and we need to guard our emotions and not let our emotions deter us from what is right. And I think we do that a lot of times too. We get mad and then we justify treating people badly. We justify hurting people because I'm mad. You hurt my feelings. You disrespected me. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And it takes us away from what is right and righteous. So I like that breastplate of righteousness, because that also guards what we consider the emotions, doing what is right. And we need to be connected with God, as I said earlier, to really know what is right. And we need to seek righteousness in this world of confusion and delusion.
It's interesting that they say the breastplate of a soldier was sometimes made of woven chain and used to cover the soldier's vital organs. And that's important because the enemy wants to attack you not only with lies but with impurity. So the believer's purity is what's at stake. He wants us to fall short. And Brenda was talking about this, I think, last week. But the bottom line is that Satan wants to get into your heart and into your mind. He's looking for a crack in your armor. But you can't be fooled. Satan knows where your crack is, and you need to know where it is. So you have to always ask the question, as Dr. Nooks is saying, is your heart pure? Because if not, you can't win the battle. So you got to always be going back and asking for clarity, asking for strength, being renewed, being restored, because we are fallen, and it's only, you know, God helps us when we go back. You know, the Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life, in Proverbs 4:23, right? And that's what Christ's righteousness does for you. It protects you against all Satan's accusation, all Satan's charges. It's not made up of the good deeds we do, right? Because it's clear that none of us are righteous. Romans 3:10. None of us are righteous.
Amen.
But the breastplate of righteousness is the righteousness of Jesus, which he gives us freely when we accept him as our Savior. It's Christ's righteousness imputed to us, not our own righteousness, that covers and protects us. Amen.
Amen.
Does anybody else want to respond on that? So if not,
amen.
Let's talk about the shoes of the gospel. Dr. Nooks, could you lead us in that? I'm trying to – someone just sent me and asked me to send them a text for the phone number. So I'm trying to send that out, if you'll go ahead and lead about the shoes of the gospel.
Yeah, and, you know, we talk about having our feet prepared, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Gospel meaning good news. So how we move needs to be such as to bring about the good news of peace to people. So when we move, we need to be moving in a way that reaches people with the good news of Jesus Christ and the good news of peace. So our steps, you know, we sang that song, Order My Steps. And that's really, you know, we need to have our steps ordered and our feet ordered, where we go ordered by God. And when we go, we need to be going in such a way that we are bringing about the good, bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to people. So when we go down the street, when we meet somebody on the corner, when we're on our jobs, when we with our family, our feet are still shod with the preparation of the gospel. So good news, we should be bringing good news wherever we go, and also allowing God to lead us to where we need to go, also to bring about that good news. And I like it, the good news of peace. You know, it says that my peace I give, not as the world gives. My peace passes all understanding. And you know, when I think about so many people that are depressed, I think about my daughter right now, and people just seeking peace in their lives, and they can't find any peace. And Jesus is saying that he wants to give us peace. This gospel, good news, wants to give us peace. And so it's incumbent upon us as we put on this armor of God, and when we have the armor of God on, our purpose is to spread the good news of peace to people, the good news of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else want to talk about the shoes of the gospel?
We need to be examples. We need to be living, when we pass that word along, as living examples of what it is to actually believe, be able to discuss, and to actually walk the walk in a Christian way, and in a way that people understand that we're examples, that we're leading examples of a person who's living as a Christian and through the Bible. It's very difficult with everything that's going on around us, but this armor that we speak about and wearing those shoes has everything to do with being a Christian example, not only to the people that we work with, that we see in the churches, but to our family, especially.
Amen. Especially. Especially. Amen. Brother Britt.
You on mute, brother?
You have to get off mute, Brett. I guess he can't hear. He probably just talking up a storm and we can't even hear him. But so regarding the soldier marching into battle, I don't know about y'all, but as far as I'm concerned, y'all have to understand, I can't go nowhere if I don't have some comfortable shoes. Y'all laughing at me now, right? What I'm saying is that we've got to put on the gospel shoes that allow us to march wherever God leads us. Because John says, he who says he abides in him, talking about Jesus, ought himself to walk just as Jesus walked. In 1 John 2:6, because Jesus says, my sheep will hear my voice and they will follow me. Now, you and I both know that Satan will try to place obstacles, you know, in the way. He will do everything he can to slow us down, but Jesus, in Jesus' strength, because see, this is how we do everything. It's not in our own strength, as I said earlier, but in Jesus' strength, we can walk forward, obeying the Lord and advancing the gospel. And that's really what this is about. Finding ways to use the shoes of peace, the believer's tranquility, to advance the gospel. It's funny that one of the commentators said that the Roman soldiers had what they call hobnails on the soles of their shoes, kind of like football cleats, because when they were fighting, they needed solid footing. I imagine they had some rough feet, but unless you have a solid footing of peace, you can never make war. you gotta have a footing of peace before you can fight. You know, because when Satan comes against your tranquility, he's going to throw all these stones, all these briars, discouragement, doubt, everything. All this to cause you to stumble, cause you to question, cause you to doubt. And the question is, you got to have that peace. Because if you start without the peace, you can't win the battle. You got to have that balance. You got to know that God's got you. You got to be able to not be rocked with all the things he's going to throw at you. And you know what you have is not your own, but it's what God gives you. So let's talk about the next one, the shield of faith.
Yeah, Dr. Susie, I think this one is really important because, it's impossible to please God without faith. You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. When we are being attacked by Satan, it is absolutely critical to have faith in God, because sometimes it's hard to see through the flames and through the battle how we're going to make it. But we need to have faith in God that we're going to make it. We've already made it. If we are a part of God, but that then we're going to make it through this battle, whatever that battle is. Sometimes it's a relationship, sometimes it's a marriage, sometimes it's hard times at work, sometimes it's financial problems, illnesses, whatever it is, and it seems like you just can't make it and you want to give up. That's the time that we need to have the shield of faith. When it seems like the battle we're losing, everything is going wrong. When you believe that God is and that God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him, that helps you in the battle. That helps you to be able to stand. But if you don't have faith in God and you're in a battle with Satan, how can you stand? I mean, if it looks like everything is going bad around you and you don't have faith, then you're going to fall. So, I mean, we got to have the shield of faith. That's why it says, and above all, the shield of faith.
Yeah. Amen. Brother Brett, so did you want to talk about the shield of faith? Brenda, anybody?
Well, okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, we hear
yes,
you
we
now.
Yes, we can.
Okay. I don't know what happened, but I was going to say, the way we can equate the armor of God is just like a fireman. The fireman has his particular footwear. He has his pants. He has his jacket. He has his helmet. He's got the covering that goes over his face to keep him from getting burned. And as a first responder, they are going to things when people are running away. And that's the way that we should be as Christians when we have on the armor of God. We should be running to the battle, not away from it. And one of the things is that once you are protected, you can defeat the foe. Because I sent out something to Dr. Susie this week. Satan is limited to what he can do. And I gave her a list of 10 things with scripture to back it up of what Satan cannot do. And one of the things is he can't do anything without God's permission. So when you got things coming against you, there's a reason for that, and that is for God to test your faith and your strength and see if you got the armor of the righteous on and see if you can withstand those things. And when you can't, then you have to turn to him. That's what he's looking for, is for us to turn to him to give us more strength to defeat the foe. I'm done.
Amen. Amen. Sister Brenda, did you want to talk about the shield of faith? Because Paul says, above all, take the shield of faith, which helps you quench the fiery darts of the wicked one.
Well, one thing I want to mention here is belief, because, and I'll add that to what Brother Britt said about the firemen who are running to put the fire out. They believe they can do it. It's more than what they have on their bodies. It's what they have in their hearts and their minds. And those things in their hearts and their minds have connected, and that's what gives them the strength, like what gives us the strength to stand up against all the terribleness that's going on.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we know.
This is James.
When? Go ahead.
I just wanted to add about the fiery darts of the wicked one. You know, we need the shield of faith to be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And there are fiery darts being shot every day at all of us, and especially those that believe. And I think it's good to know that they are there and where they're coming from. And I think this is where we need to really stand on our faith when we see people doing crazy things to us. And it hurts. I mean, it's not just that it doesn't hurt, but it hurts. I mean, sometimes it takes our jobs away. Sometimes it ruins our marriages. I mean, these are serious, serious darts. And sometimes it's maybe have a less of effect, but it demeans us. It makes us feel like we can't do anything. We're incapable, insults us, you know, understand
Amen.
That they're there. And that's the time that we need God. I believe in you. I believe that I am your child. You know, I am a royal priesthood, a royal priesthood. I'm a peculiar person. I'm a gem in your crown. I mean, you know, we are special people, but Satan wants to let us believe that we're nothing. And so I just our
Amen.
Listeners need to understand that these times will come, and they're going to continue.
You know,
but we got it.
And
go ahead.
And Dr. Nooks, I think everybody's hit on something that's really serious here. And it's something that maybe all of us can identify with, and that is thinking that we don't have enough faith in different times in our lives. I remember when my daughter died, people would say some cruel things. This one woman said, well, you didn't have enough faith to raise her from the dead. I'm like, Lord have mercy, the stuff that people will say to you when your children, when you've lost someone, it's off the chart. But we have to understand when we're fighting these fiery darts, and as everybody has said, it is faith that keeps us steadfast. It's the shield of faith that turns aside the blows. It's the shield of faith that's in the heart that is protecting. But what we
All right.
need to understand, the faith that we have is not that which comes from within us. And I want us to say this and I want to give you scripture so you ain't got to believe what I say. It's the faith is not something that comes from within us. It's God's gift. If you don't get nothing else tonight, get this. It is God's gift to us. He gives us a measure of faith, Romans 12:3. Then as we walk with God, our faith grows and it develops until it becomes a shield. Come on, somebody. Protecting
Amen.
Us, allowing us to live a victorious life in Christ Jesus. And this is Paul's experience. All the stuff we've been through, come on, the experiences that God has taken us through. I call it.
All right.
I called it God's, Jesus, I forgot. Previous experience, God's previous heritage of previous experience, hope. Heritage, our heritage of previous experience, that it grows the more every time we have the experience with God, we get stronger. You can imagine spiritually your muscles getting taut, that the shield is growing stronger. is being built up more and more so that when you walk, you are like Iron Man. That is a shield. You like Iron Man where you're protected.
All right.
And Paul's experience, Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. He had been through so much. It is no longer I who live, hallelujah, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, Galatians 2:20. And at the end of that life of faith, he declared, I have fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith in Timothy. That can be our experience as well, as we use the shield of faith to turn aside everything that Satan throws at us. And so I want to look at these last things, the helmet of salvation. Helmet protects the head. This is the most vital part, maybe, of the body, since it's the seat of thought in the mind. Right?
Amen.
When we have sure knowledge of our salvation, we can't be moved, right, by his deceptions. But sometimes
Amen.
People get to wondering, well, am I? Do I have all that it takes? I've fallen short of the glory of God, and so I don't know. Well, we happen to be humans living in a human body. That's why every day he says, mercies are new every day. We can go back every day and be renewed. We fall down, but we get up. We are certain
Amen.
That we are in Christ when, with our sins forgiven. We will have a peace that nothing can disturb. Can we be certain of our salvation? Can we be sure? Yes. Yes. People who are out there today, I had an uncle used to say, minister, you can't know if you're saved until Jesus said good and faithful servant well did. That's a lie from Satan. If we confess our sins, Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. Anybody else want to talk
Amen.
About the helmet?
Yeah.
Anybody want to say anything about the
well,
helmet?
Well, this is June. Just to say that salvation protects, and I think you said it well. You know, protects our minds, and our minds are important. You know, in Romans 12, you know, don't be conformed. Don't Satan attacks our minds. So we don't need to be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So, you know, that's the playground. That's what these people are
yeah.
doing now in the season.
That's the battleground.
They're playing with our, yeah, they're playing with our minds. And it's like a, I don't know, like a Pied Piper, like we're, many people are on drugs. I mean, they're addicted to the lies. It's so upsetting when you can step back and try to look at things through faith and righteousness. It's really sick. And it's like getting toward end times. I mean, people will believe anything. But it's so important for us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So our minds need to be renewed, and our minds need to be renewed through the Word of God and through prayer and our connection with God. See, Satan wants to mess with our connection with God. And this all this stuff is about our connection with God. God wants us to draw close to him, and God will draw close to us. You know, and that's the way it works. But if Satan can keep us separated by deception, by messing with our minds, by shooting fiery darts at us, by making us doubt our faith, by making us doubt what we can do in God, then we get separated. We get weak when we get separated from God. You know, that's a song I used to like, you know, I miss my time with you. Because we need, by Larnell Harris, because we need to be renewed every day. And if Satan can get us apart from God, then we just become weak and vulnerable. And we need to guard our minds by continuing to be renewed by God's word and by, through prayer and our and getting closer to God.
Amen.
Satan wants to mess that whole thing
Amen.
Up.
Amen. Brett.
This is Brett.
Brenda, what do you want to say
yeah.
about it?
Well, I just
Satan
No, I was just saying that the what I said after Britt talked about the firemen running to the fire to put the fire out, and I talked about belief, that is first something that comes through our minds. Our hearts and our minds connect, and we know that we have the faith, and we know we're protected. And for me, that's where the helmet comes in.
Amen.
Amen.
This is
so
Brett.
What about the sword of the spirit? You want to introduce the sword of the spirit, Brett? Ephesians 6:17.
Well, come under the sword and spirit and also the helmet. What we have to understand is that Satan cannot gain victory over the weakest saint who trusts in Jesus. And it's about trust. If you're new as a Christian, it says in John 10:28-30, it says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hands. Talking about the Father's hands. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand, and I, the Father, are one. There you go.
So we want to talk about the sword of the Spirit in Ephesians 6:17. The sword is, everybody knows, is the Word of God. It's the only weapon of offense. Let me say it again.
There you go.
The only weapon of offense listed in the armor of God. Everything else is defensive in nature. God's word, the Bible, is described as living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword in Hebrews 4:12. So Jesus
Amen.
Used this weapon. Y'all remember when he was tempted in the wilderness? To each of Satan's efforts to lead him into sin, he replied, it is written. Come on, somebody. And so when you start going through trials and tribulations, just start saying, it is written. Come on. And then you proceed to quote scripture
right.
to destroy Satan's temptations. Because God's word is truth. John 17:17 says, and that's why it's so powerful. That's why it's so important that we study the Bible and have Bible study. So that we can become familiar with the truths and the power of God. David said, your word is a lamp. Come on, somebody, to my feet. And what? A light. What? To my path. In Psalms 119:105. The sword
yes.
of God's word both protects and destroys our enemy. Protects us and destroys our enemy, which is the devil and his companions. So who else has something else they want to add to that about the sword of the spirit? Come on, y'all. I know some good stuff out there.
Well, this is James, and again, we need to hold to the Word of God and seek to understand God's Word. Look at the different translations, try to understand the original autographs, and what was written, and understand that that is our protection. That is our ability to stand up against Satan and be able to deflect those fiery darts and their effect that they have on people. And many people are getting away from the Word of God. They don't study. Bible study is one of the least attended services in the churches. People don't read their Bibles. People don't feel like they need to. And this is again, it's a deception from Satan. Because that's where your weapon comes from, your ability to have an offensive move. And if we don't use them, then we lose our ability to do that, and we become, again, more vulnerable. So it's important for us to study and use and apply God's word not just read it, but apply it to our lives so that we can grow and be closer to God.
Amen. And I guess one of the things I want to say tonight, and I hope everybody is listening, that God has a plan for your life. He's got a plan for my life. But don't be fooled. The enemy's got a plan too. We have to decide which voice we're going to listen to and who we're going to choose to follow each day. And chances are, if we don't put on our armor, if we don't make determined choices to follow God, we will fall into the trap of the enemy, because we rush through the day unprepared, thinking, well, I got to rush to work. I got to do this. I got to rush here. I got to rush there. And that's the whole lure, is that we're so busy rushing the things that we would do, like read the word so that we can be ready. We rush right on past to thinking, oh, I don't have time. I got to get to work. When in reality, if you don't dress up in your armor, you may not even make it to work. You may not make it there. And if we die in our sin, if we fall short, it's all about being prepared. And those of us who are believers living like salt and light in this dark world, you got to know you ain't going to be able to go along without having some sort of obstacle and some sort of attack. It's going to come straight at you, because this is a real battle, and it's intense. And the Bible says, Dr. Nooks read it, and he says, he's trying to take you out. This is to the death. This is a battle to the death. And Paul has alerted us to arms, saying, stay alert, put on your armor, pray that God will equip us to stand strong. And the last thing we're going to do, we got just a few minutes left, is that we do this through prayer. Sister Brenda, give us a little bit about an understanding on the power of prayer against the enemy's schemes.
This is a true story. My almost ex-husband was in kidney failure and had waited 8 years for a kidney, and UCLA was waiting all that time, leaving him on dialysis. I took him out of Los Angeles into Indiana, and they went ahead and racked up his wait time on dialysis in Los Angeles, which was almost 9 years. He came home from dialysis, and I looked at him, and I was terrified. I asked him, Please, let's lock hands and pray and ask God to release us from this situation. So he stood up, and we locked hands, and we prayed. I led that prayer. And at 8:15 the next morning,
come on,
Indiana University called with a kidney for my almost ex-husband. Now, think about this. 8 years waiting in Los Angeles. He could hardly walk. His parathyroid was ruined, and it was putting too much calcium in his bones, and he could hardly move. But when he came home on July 17, 2011, and I looked at him, and we went to God to ask for release from that situation, he had a kidney the next morning at 8:15 a.m.
Hallelujah.
That happened, and I burst into tears. It's the truth. That's what happened. By the same token.
Amen.
In 1997, I asked God to protect me because I was coming back to Los Angeles to work with him. He was a professional percussionist and performer from Cameroon, Central Africa. And I asked God to please protect me, and do you know he did? All the way through all of it. and gave me the strength in order to help save a life between God, the doctors, and me. And I
Amen.
Just want to say that prayer
Amen.
Works. It works.
Amen.
But you have to take
Amen.
It, and you have to take it straight, and you have to take what you need and talk to God about what it is that's going on and be real, because he knows if it's not.
All right. So we've learned that prayer is not one of the pieces of the whole arm of God, but Paul says, by closing his list, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Even when you are clothed with the arm of God, you need to bathe it all in prayer. Everything needs
Amen.
To be bathed in prayer.
Amen.
Prayer brings you into communion and fellowship with God so that the armor can protect you. Bathe your days, your nights, your ins, your outs with prayer. Cover your children, your family, your loved ones, your neighborhood, your city, your community with prayer. Prayer can protect you. Amen. So
Amen.
We're going to close, but
Amen.
My question is, I don't want each of you to answer this as we close. How do you put on the whole armor of God? And you know, it's not as difficult as you might think. Because all these pieces in armor, this is what I always talk about, are found in relationship with Jesus Christ. Paul says it like this: put on the Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 13:14. But when you give yourself to Jesus and put on his righteousness, you're clothed in the whole armor of God. Anybody else? Anybody else? Dr. Nooks, would you close us with an invitation that...
Yes.
That, you know, and understanding, one last thing is, you know, sometimes we feel weak, y'all. Sometimes we fall short. But as we face issues like temptation and discouragement and all these things, but if we're clothed in the whole armor of God, the weakest of God's children is more than a match for Satan. Come on, somebody. The weakest of God's children is more than a match for Satan. It says, in Jesus clothed in God's invincible armor, you will be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You will be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. God's blessings be with you. Dr.
Amen.
Nick.
God, we thank you for the Bible study tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your people that are praying for us, and we're praying for them. And God, right now we want to lift up to you some people that may be seeking you, and perhaps something has happened in their lives, and they're under conviction right now, and they are coming to you, God, asking, what must I do to be saved? And we... would like to quote John 10 with them, and, you know, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And so we're asking you to confess, God, and believe that Jesus has been raised from the dead by God, and you allow Jesus
Amen.
To come in to be your Lord and Savior. Open your heart to him today, and you're saved. And God, we're grateful for those people that have given their lives to you tonight. And we pray that they will grow stronger and get connected with the local church so that they can grow stronger and grow in your word and in your spirit and in your understanding. Touch them in a special way. And God, we ask you to touch those that are also listening in, God, that they might grow stronger. We are concerned about the deception that is happening in our world today. And we need the whole armor of God because Satan is busy trying to tear us down and destroy us. God, open our eyes so that we might see the enemy, for who the enemy is, and that we might come to you and ask for your help in standing against him. God, help us to pray. Help us to have faith. Help us, God, to see the truth.
Come on.
Help us, God, to seek you. We are being deceived every day, and God, we need your help right now to open our eyes and give us strength. So we're praying for the strength that you only can give. God, we're reaching out to touch the hem of your garment, realizing virtue comes out when we touch you. And God, we're reaching out just to touch you right now because we need your virtue. God, help us to love in spite of how we might be treated. And that's tough. But God, help us to reflect you to other people because they need to see something different in this world coming from your people. Your people who are supposed to love, God, help us to love, even in the most difficult situations. And God, cover our families in a special way because Satan is going to be busy trying to destroy our families. And God, help our churches in a special way also, God, because Satan is trying to destroy our churches. God, we need you right now, Lord. Oh, Lord, we thank you for all that you are right now. And we thank you for what's going to happen in the future, God. And we're so grateful that we already have a home in heaven with you forever and ever and ever. And God, help us to stand strong in that faith that you are going to be there with us in any battle, in every battle. In Jesus' name, we pray. We especially want to say a prayer for our leader, Dr. Susie. Touch her, Scott, in a special way. And we're so grateful for her having the vision and the strength to carry this Bible study forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.